You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, Sam. How you going?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
Oh, my dog just let himself in the room.
Cute.
Yeah, it's pretty cute, but he can open doors. It's quite terrifying.
Yeah. My dog can tightrope across a fence.
So, what?
Yes, my neighbors were terrified, and I've been terrified a couple times that I've seen it. She will get herself on top of the fence and then, like, just walk along the top of it.
Oh, that's amazing. Your dog is a gymnast.
Yeah. So let's get into it. I think we were both kind of hoping for a happy story to come out of Australia this week, but it does not look like that's going to happen. So three men have been arrested on terrorist charges in Australia at the minute. Can you tell me a bit about what happened there?
Since the Melbourne Bourke Street attack, there has been a huge crackdown on terrorism charges. I think Adelaide was being prepared for some kind of sweep, but I don't think anything's come from that. But they have been, I guess, successful is the word, in finding these three men who I believe two are related. They were arrested in Melbourne on the suspicion of plotting terror attack because they had tried to source a semi-automatic rifle, and the police allege that they did this in order to kill as many people as possible in a crowded space. And the police did go on to say that they had been monitoring the men since March, and that the reason why they cracked down on them is because they believed they were becoming inspired by IS.
Mm. And so what has, because this is the second week in a row where we're talking about a story related to terrorism, so what has that done for the conversation around terrorism in Australia?
Yeah, it's been interesting. There has been a lot of fear-mongering, I guess is the best word, around Islam, particularly in extremist Islam. And Morrison, I believe we spoke last week, said that religious extremism is the number one thing to fear in Australia at the moment, when I feel like that was, and he wasn't responsible when he said that, he was being irresponsible is a better way to put it. When we have women who are dying weekly, we have people, we have far more bigger issues in Australia, and it's kind of backlashed him a little bit, because he wanted to form a roundtable discussion with Muslim leaders from across the world, and they are refusing to speak to him because of the way he's alienated Muslim communities within Australia.
Mm. What did he say exactly that was deemed to be so inflammatory?
From memory, he said that right now, currently, religious extremism is the biggest thing Australians should fear, and he was talking directly in relation to the Bourke Street attack.
And so what has been the response from the Muslim community and Muslim leadership specifically?
So they said that he's alienated segments of their community. So there's been 9 Muslim leaders, including Grand Mufti Dr. Ibrahim Abu Muhammad and Australian Federation of Islamic Councils President Dr. Ratib Janid. They signed a letter stating that they would not go ahead with the meeting until attendees were confident that their views and concerns would be respected, and as well that the letter called for a meeting to be moved until a concrete agenda had been agreed upon. So from what I can take from that is that Morrison's just inviting these guys here to be honest and open and talk, but they don't want to come to this meeting and feel demonized for their religion or feel responsible for these men's actions.
Talking about migration next, Scott Morrison had started a conversation around the same time as this that there needs to be a cut for permanent migration on Australia because it's about increased congestion. Can you tell me a bit about what is happening with the congestion in Australia right now?
Yeah, so in a speech and for the future of Sydney and Melbourne, like you said, he's blaming migration for overpopulation within those areas. Cars are congested, there's too much traffic, buses and trains are full, and schools aren't taking any more enrollments. This is what Morrison's saying. And currently, per annum, Australia has an intake of 190,000 people, and that's what it's capped at. And I believe Australia is 30,000 below that already, and he wants to decrease it to that amount anyways. So people are saying it's not going to make much of a difference. And one of the biggest reasons people believe there's congestion is because of overseas students, and that's why we're seeing so many congestion within Sydney and Melbourne, because that's a popular destination for overseas students.
And this is paired with Morrison pulling support for the United Nations Migration Pact. What exactly is that pact?
It's a non-binding migration agreement where it will hopefully make migration processes safer. But Morrison is saying that there's no way it will distinguish between people who come here legally and people who come here via boat or any other illegal measures. So he thinks it's going to, in a very Trump manner, make our borders unsecure.
And the former deputy secretary of the Department of Immigration, he came out to kind of point the finger at Morrison and say that when he was the immigration minister, he did three things that have kind of landed him in the situation he's in now. What were those three things?
Yeah, so he said that Morrison's issues were when he set the cap at 190,000 per annum, which he linked to the budget. I'm not sure how he linked it, but Morrison has even said that if he decreased it more than 30,000, we would see the economy take a hit of billions of dollars. So that was one issue. Morrison also significantly boosted the level of overseas students, who, like I said earlier, mostly went to Sydney and Melbourne. And then that final point, which I just raised, was that he, during Abu Rizzi's time, he saw Morrison reduce the usage of reasonable visas, which he is backpedaling on now.
Shifting on to Bali Nine, so a group of drug smugglers. Can you give me a little bit of backstory for those who don't know about this group? Why have they arisen in the news at the minute?
Yes, so this happened in 2005. There were nine people caught trying to smuggle 8 kilograms of heroin from Bali to Australia, which added up to about $4 million. So it was a big drug deal. And as many people probably know, the penalty for any form of drug dealing in Bali could see you facing the death penalty. So why it's coming back in the news is because one of the smugglers, Renee Lawrence, she was given 20 years of prison due to the fact that she had strapped over 2 kilograms of heroin to her body. We saw 6 others face life imprisonment, and then 2 who were the ringleaders. They made news back in 2015. Andrew Chan and Myron Sukumaran were executed in 2015 as they were the ringleaders.
Mm. So she's been released now early. That kind of leniency isn't characteristic of Indonesia. What's the kind of speculation there?
Well, so for a while, yes, we were expecting to see that she would do 20 years imprisonment, but she has been released. She is back in Australia. So her sentence was reduced because by 6 years because of good, good behaviour. So she's been well-behaved, polite. She even took on painting, and she's practicing Hindu as well. So before her release from prison, she did have a Hindu ceremony. And there was other components to why her sentence was reduced, were these things where if you're in prison during national holidays, they can reduce your time as well. So I found that quite interesting. So interestingly, she's back. She has spent 13 years of her life in prison in Bali. She is now banned from going there ever again. And she said she's a bit scared to come here and go back to life.
In terms of being afraid to come back to Australia, why do you think that fear is present?
I guess it's because she has spent a lot of her time in a different culture now. She even speaks Indonesian, and I think there was a report when she arrived in Australia, she refused to answer any questions in English, and she spoke very quietly, speaking Indonesian. So she has to come back to society. A lot of a lot of the time when people have gone through the prison system, they are afraid of coming back and not having that structure and not having the people that they've bonded with for so long. She spent 13 years getting to know Balinese people. And another thing, she hasn't specifically spoken about it, but I assume there is some anxiety surrounding the fact that she could face another criminal charge, because in 2005, just before she was arrested in Bali, she stole a car in Sydney and then took it on a high-speed chase, and she was supposed to show up in court in the same month that she was arrested in Bali.
Well, that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, I hope you have a good weekend. Talk with you next week.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.